Thank you, Kim Ji, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you very much to CEDA for this opportunity to talk to you today. I was very concerned when the promotional email went out promoting this event that my photo was in black and white and all the others were in colour, and it was quite an old photo, so I thought that I'd better update my photo, and I went to the Simpsons movie site and developed my own Simpsons avatar. As you can tell, it's an uncanny likeness and is relevant to today's discussion in a way that I'll bring to your attention shortly. Commercialising R&D, bringing innovation to market, is it a good thing or a bad thing? The CEDA promotional material, and I preface all this by saying I'm only going to speak for 10 minutes, which will be a miracle, so Kim Ji will just have to be supported when he has to physically drag me off. In the CEDA promotional material, they talked about all the lost research and development that's not been commercialised. And they said that Australia must develop workplace skills and a culture of innovation to overcome this. At an organisation level, we've got to capture this innovation, manage it holistically as a business process, and work to overcome and identify these obstacles. So I suppose my question, is CEDA on the right track? I said The Simpsons was relevant. It's very relevant. In an early episode, Lisa Simpson, the daughter of the family, went for the title of Little Miss Springfield, but she was up against youth pageant veteran Amber Dempsey, who, when asked the searching question by the panel, is the Bill of Rights, which is my graphical attempt to represent that there, is it a good thing or a bad thing? She turned to the judging panel, batted her eyelids and said, good thing. And everybody nodded with assent and wrote that down. I simply want to contend that I believe that CEDA is on the right track and that the commercialisation of R&D is a good thing and something that we need to focus on. It's all very well to assert that, but how can we do it, and how in the time I have remaining can I give you some suggestions from my personal experience? Well, I've stuck with the theme of beauty pageants. Amber Dempsey is now remembered in the same vein as a young woman called Lauren Caitlin Upton, who was Miss South Carolina's entrant in this year's Miss Teen USA 2007. Now, I can already tell that some of you have seen the YouTube clip. I'd certainly recommend you just put in Miss South Carolina, Miss Teen USA, and you'll see it. Lauren was asked by one of the panel members the following question: why is it that a fifth of Americans can't locate the US on a map when it's put in front of them? Her answer was, I won't do the accent, though it sort of started, I personally believe, first of all, some people don't have maps. It's not that bad a point. The second point, and as best as I can do it, was US education, such as in South Africa, the Iraq, and everywhere such as, should help the US, South Africa, the Iraq, and Asian countries to build a better future for our children. It's great viewing. I have great sympathy for the young girl. She's got some celebrity out of it. But if you break it down, we need some maps. And I think in order to commercialise R&D, we need maps, just as Americans need maps in order to be able to find their country on that map. And education and support, linking research to the market, needs education, support, and the ability and recognition to compete globally. And that's the challenge for all research, bringing it into a global market, be it South Africa, Iraq, or Asian countries, and the rest of the globe. So how are we travelling in doing that? I'll just briefly touch on a couple of reports. Recently in August, the National Survey of Research Commercialisation report was released. It's looking at the commercialisation of public sector research. My esteemed panel members, I was very inspired by your introduction, Kim Ji, as to who we are. It's got to be the other guys. It's certainly not me. But in relation to public sector research, things are improving. Over the last 5 years, to give you some statistics, inventions disclosures have increased by 77%. Patents and plant breeder rights issued worldwide have increased by 79%. Licenses, options and assignments that yield incomes per year are up 36%. Startup companies, which is a subject close to my heart, operational at the end of each year, at the end of each of these 5 years, have nearly tripled, and the value of the institutional equity in those companies has increased by some 41%. And commercialisation staff, again something probably dear to my panelists' hearts, have increased by 74%. So the signs are good in the public sector, and I'll leave it to the other panelists to discuss how the support and maps that they need in order to get their research out into the market from that public sector. But the picture is improving. More needs to be done. My perspective is a little bit more from the private sector. We work in the area of helping corporates get assistance for research and development. Very interesting report has been released called How R&D Assistance Influences Company Behaviour. It was a fairly small sample set, but still I think relevant. 75 companies who've received a research and development start grant, and 75 companies who are recent users of the research and development tax concession. They have reported that without that government assistance, projects would have taken longer to complete and would have had a smaller budget. They would have had less outcomes, applications and collaborations. More than half of the respondents said the tax concession helped them commercialise more rapidly because the market imperatives were being recognised and supported. And the grant recipients said the same. So there was a direct impact from government assistance, which is an area that I work in continuously, on commercial outcomes. Cynics will say they're going to say what the government hears. But I think corporates are responsible. I think they do tell it as it is. And government assistance is clearly part of that support, part of that map that we're all looking for, that can help companies and the outputs of research that they develop themselves be more rapidly commercialised and hopefully open them up to be more connected with the public sector. Not everyone agrees with me. I've just put up there very quickly, is the Productivity Commission helping? The Productivity Commission released a report that generated a lot of attention. It was the subject of the CETA presentation on innovation earlier this year. The Productivity Commission suggests that we should only provide support to corporates where that support turns those companies into radical innovators, step changers, invention, and the incremental stuff, which is likely to get to market, is not the area or province of government support. I really strongly disagree with that and urge people to enter that debate in terms of, I think that the issue here is that the public sector does what it does well, the private sector does what it does well, and how do we get them together? There's always conferences on this, but it's about those linkages. It's not trying to turn them into each other. And at times I think that the public sector is under siege to be overly commercial. And I think that if corporates are now being encouraged by the Productivity Commission to be radical innovators, I think that's a dangerous step. They got stuck into the main program I deal with, the research and development tax concession, and I think they've taken the debate away from the key issue, which I think is a real election issue. The basic concession is currently only worth 7.5 cents in the dollar. It's 125%. The coalition has put bells and whistles on it. I think the basic rate, the 125, is where the focus should be, and I hope that the two parties are challenged on that basic rate. These incremental programs and all the variations that they have take away from the fact that companies need to be able to plan for the work that they're doing, and if they can plan for the work that they're doing, they're more likely to do the research and development, and they're suggesting to us they're more likely to commercialise it. So if you feel that innovation policy can remain on the election agenda, I encourage you to do so. Finally, and I think I'm going okay for time, am I, Kenji? All right, I might have personal observations. I might be able to squeeze in a bit of my own childhood, but no. Just from 20 years of working in the industry and dealing with this issue of how do we get these outputs from companies as they generate them from the public sector into the marketplace, a couple of observations. It's not all the fault of the research sector. I think from time to time, corporates can be guilty of characterising people working in those sectors as insular, not having the necessary skills, and therefore not really being relevant. I think it's a misplaced view. I think it's a view that doesn't hold water, and I want it to be challenged. I do have a long example about the Innovation Summit held in 2000, where less than 10% of the attendees were corporates. And if the research sector got a lot of its agenda through at that particular event, that's because they turned up, they showed up. And at times, the corporate sector doesn't show up because they say, look, you know, they're not really in touch with the market. Well, let's help them get in touch. There was an interesting sidelight that they put up when we had the dinner, they put up the table numbers and the names of the people sitting against each table number, but not the names of the people in alphabetical order. So you had something like 300 scientists and academics scrummaging around trying to work out where they were sitting. They came up with some fantastic solutions, but they needed someone from corporate to work out which one they could sell. Finally, some suggestions. The Australian Institute of Commercialisation looks at these specific issues. So look up them if you're a corporate looking for how do I more rapidly get my research to market or access good research for my company. That's a suggestion about trying to build a roadmap or a link. The Innovation Exchange has metamorphosized recently. The gentleman who started my firm, Michael Johnson, works there now. And their job is to take luminaries, people with strong academic and research backgrounds, and put them on secondments in companies on a rotational basis, maybe once a fortnight across six or seven companies, and then they share results. The companies give permission to those results to be shared, to talk to each other, and you're actually physically getting research into the corporate environment and hopefully getting it into the marketplace more rapidly. The Hargreaves Institute is a new initiative where a number of organisations are coming together to share ways to innovate and achieve this result. So I'm with Amber and I'm with Lauren. I think it's a good thing, as I metaphorically bat my eyelids, but it is about maps and it is about building a better future for our children, and I hope we can all be part of that. Thank you very much.